Welcome to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast, brought to you by Vautier Communications. I'm your host, Jen Alex, and the goal of this show is to uncover communication strategies and behaviors that you can use to improve the way that you show up and perform at work. We'll talk about what effective communication looks like in action so that you can apply it to your own career. If you'd like a written summary of each episode, subscribe to our weekly email newsletter by visiting vautiercommunications.com. Welcome back to another Speak As Well As You Think podcast. And this month, we're going to talk about how we coach individuals who either think they're already a great communicator or may in fact already be an effective communicator. We have worked with lots of different speakers across a variety of different industries. And sometimes we work with someone who sees themselves as a strong communicator, but might perhaps have some room for growth still. And there are other times that we work with somebody who's already coming in with a really great successful skill set, but there are still areas that they might be able to fine tune. So Matt, do you want to kick us off taking us through what some of these things might look like?
I think a big piece to start off with here is really where these communication skills come from at base. Some of us have a little bit more experience at the front of that room. Some of us have a little bit less, but generally our communication skills come from whatever deep-rooted habits they are that we have. Mm-hmm. This is where we fall back on when we may get a little bit nervous, we may have a larger room in front of us, or that information may get a little bit more complex in nature. What we want to remember is that for those individuals that, again, may come in with already a good skill set to begin with, there's a bit of a difference between the conversational skill set and the presentation skill set we talk about, one, right. And two, it doesn't necessarily mean that the pain points they have are glaring or making extreme inefficiencies. It's more that there's still things we can highlight in order to climb that ladder, that next step. Mm-hmm. Starting off on that first route, talking a little bit more about the conversational piece, some of those individuals that come into our course have had kind of that positive background in the conversations they've had before, yep. Whether it is with new people in sales roles and creating new interactions and relationships, or whether it's with building relationships in their past roles, there's likely success there, which leads them to believe there may not be a lot of inefficiencies. Yeah. When we see them stand up at the front of the room, we may see that skill set change a little bit. Again, from that dialogue setting where we're getting back and forth from the audience up to where we are that main speaker, again, our mind may just make a slight switch and we may not notice that. So drawing a little bit of attention to the differences in that skill set is usually the first step that I take.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I've worked with one-on-one clients before where the feedback that they've received, either whether it's them personally or perhaps an HR partner and a manager who has called us in, has been that they are great one-to-one conversations, hallway networking, a super easy person to talk to, but they don't always have that ability to perhaps formal up when it comes to a presentation or a meeting that they might be running to their executive team or up into the organization to pitch a new idea. And they still have that very casual conversational tone, which I don't want anybody to think is a bad thing, but it depends on what the situation calls for. So if the situation calls for something that might be a little bit more formal, and we don't have the ability to turn that formal side on, that's where all of a sudden, it's not that the person is ineffective, but they can be seen as too casual in that setting. So it's finding that balance between the two. It's not saying that what they're already doing is bad or wrong. It's just being able to highlight one button a little bit more than the other based on the situation.
Yeah. And the word that jumps out at me when I think about this type of scenario is just adaptability.
Yeah.
Can a speaker or is a speaker able to shift lanes seamlessly in their style of communication? Matt highlighted sometimes certain roles, people are wildly successful in those roles, doing what they do day to day because of the conversational nature, the way they connect with others, the relatability factors and components. But you might not use that same skill set in other scenarios, in other speaking opportunities, mm-hmm. Whether it's an internal audience, an external audience, a big group or a small group. You have to be able to adapt. And even those folks that we've worked with before who we would feel like are close to tip of the spear, highly effective at baseline, there's still little tiny tweaks that can be made to further optimize. And this is the concept that we highlight in all of our courses. The goal is not perfect.
Right.
There isn't a perfect set of skills. There's not a point where you reach the top of the mountain and realize, cool, I'm done climbing. I don't need to get any better at this. It's more about, okay, now I'm at the top of the mountain. Let me get back down to the bottom and figure out ways that I can make that climb more efficient, make it easier for me, make it more enjoyable for the audiences I'm interacting with. But all of that allows for us to make small adjustments and pivots along the way to make it the best experience for those you're interacting with in any type of scenario that you find yourself speaking.
And I think a big piece of that to remember is that there's always another step to take. I like to liken it to when people are going to the gym and they are getting into better physical shape. Even the people that you see on World's Strongest Man or in CrossFit competitions and things of that nature are standing in the gym and they are tweaking little things about their form or little things about what they do. Even though they're at the top of their game, they're maybe the best that they've ever been in terms of shape and technique and all of these other things. They're still taking that extra stride to make sure, hey, is this what I would consider perfect and is it effective for what I want my task to be? For us as speakers, that sometimes goes a little bit further. And we also want to remember that just because we're good with that spoken communication doesn't mean we're utilizing our other factors of communication quite as well. Sometimes our loud or strong speaking skills may take a toll in the listening or in some of those other areas that we talk about.
Lauren and I were just watching Moneyball, the very end of Moneyball. And there's that scene with David Justice. And he's older at this point in his career when he's playing with the A's. But David Justice is in the batting cages and he's having a conversation with the manager, Billy Bean. And David Justice says, "You're paying me $7 million a year to play baseball here. So yeah, I'm special." And Billy Bean says, "We're not paying you that. We're paying you three and a half. The Yankees are paying the rest of your contract. That's what the Yankees think about you. They're paying you right now to play against them." And Brad Pitt's character, Billy Bean, says, "We're not paying you for the player you used to be. We're paying you for the player you are today." And it's this concept of, you do have to let go of ego at certain points and realize, okay, I may have been excellent 10 years ago in a different conversation, at a different role, at different points in talks and presentations. Today, where am I? Let's level set, call a spade and see what the data shows. And this is why we utilize video recording. This is why we go to what many of us call game film. It's like, let's see what the video says. Because the video doesn't lie. And as much as people might think, "I don't think that's an issue for me. I feel like my hands work really well naturally," or, "I don't think I get off balance too much." And as soon as we go to the video, it's eye-opening. And at some points, that's the difference maker, as people say, "Wow, I had no idea that was something that was happening with me. Now that I know," we've said this in several different podcasts, "what gets measured gets managed." Now we can make those course corrections based on what we need to, but a lot of that has to do with what do we see when we record
And I
it.
think that brings up a really great point in terms of how do we approach coaching somebody without damaging their ego? So it's not, you still want to be honest, you still want to help them improve, but you don't want to do it in a sense that they feel personally attacked, where then they close off, they shut down, or perhaps they decide this isn't for me, I don't need this, and they don't come back.
And I think a big part of it is how we go through with that coaching. It's not coaching in order to highlight the one or two or three inefficiencies that these very efficient communicators may have, but it's more going through and explaining, "Hey, this is a piece that I saw where if we shift it a little bit in one direction or the other, these are the additional rewards or additional benefits you may see because of it." Again, that small 2 to 3% effort or 1 to 2 seconds of thought can, in the background, gain this for you. Taking that lens at it or that approach allows them to say, "You're right, I've been getting good benefits, but there were some pitfalls, there were some shorthanded pieces, and that may be one of the keys to unlocking them." Usually, phrasing it that way, less consequences, more benefits, is going to be better off for that.
And as I hear that, Matt, I hear start with why. Explain why this is important. What are they going to get as a result of making some small adjustment, small shift? But that's what creates the buy-in from them. It's not that the ego is the bad thing. I know there's a book out there, Ego is the Enemy. We do have to let that go at points, the ego that we have or that we carry. But it's neat to be able to share. Here's why I'm making this recommendation. Here's why this coaching piece might be something that you consider. But doing it, and I like to share with a lot of the clients that I work with in this space, all we're doing at this point is polishing. It's moving the needle from good to great. You're no longer at a point where we need to create a foundation for the skills. The foundation that you've got is effective. Let's make some small adjustments and iterations. It's like people that have a great golf swing or a great baseball swing or a great basketball shot. We liken all of this to physical skills. Think running, think swimming, anything like that. If what they've got already at baseline is effective, now the easy part is just making some minor tweaks that allow full optimization to exist.
And John, you mentioned it in a couple comments ago, but that's where that video recording is super helpful because, as you mentioned, the video does not lie. So it's a really easy tool to do it one way, perhaps first the way that this person normally does it, what they're comfortable with, and then redo it with the small tweak and be able to compare the two. What looks better? What sounds better? I don't necessarily want to rely on what feels better because sometimes something feels better just because it's what we're used to doing. That doesn't necessarily mean it creates the best outcome. So it's the feeling part comes the more you practice that skill, the more you make something your own. But the video recording does a great job of providing that data in a very non-opinionated way where you literally get to look and see what your audience looks at and sees from you as the speaker in our case.
I got a lesson from a golf pro once, and he asked me how things felt. And I said, it doesn't feel great. And he said, how did you like the outcome? And it was a driving drill. So driving the ball, and it was going straight every single time. And I said, I like the outcome a lot. He said, it will feel better the longer you stick with this. It's one of those things. It's like, if you're happy with the results, try not to change course. It's not feeling good right now because of old muscle memory, because of old habits, because of what you had always known. As you said, Jen, it's the comfort piece. But if you like the results, that's what I'm here for. I'm here for results. You're working with me because perhaps you didn't like the ball every other shot landing right side of the fairway, left side of the fairway, perhaps the slice here and there. That's what we're trying to clean up and avoid going forward. Is it going to feel a little strange right now? Sure, because it's new. But if you like these results and they're happening with consistency, that's the goal.
It's a quote that I've heard before that I always like to use is comfortable isn't always correct. Sometimes you need that discomfort in order to know that you're doing something correctly. And as we've said with that video recording, sometimes seeing that discomfort in action is enough to say it doesn't look uncomfortable to those around me. It just feels uncomfortable to me. And that's the big hurdle that we have a lot of these individuals seeing is they're comfortable in how they've been communicating. Whether it's because of the feedback they've gotten, the results, as we've talked about before, there's a sense of comfort there. And as they start to stray out and try on some of these new tips for size or some of these new tricks, they start to feel that discomfort and that brings them back into their shell. Because again, some of these strong communicators have gone years without feeling uncomfortable or nervous at the front of that room. And as soon as you throw that wrinkle in, that starts to rise again. For
Absolutely.
us, what we say is taking that time to watch it back and understand what that audience is seeing and how they're feeling is going to help to level set you and say, hey, what has felt comfortable to me so far, but may be making my audience feel uncomfortable? Again, that's one of those big level set pieces that we may not necessarily notice because we fall back on these habits so often.
I know I've mentioned it in probably multiple other podcast episodes, but what you're describing, Matt, is what we call that implementation dip. And you can Google that, but it's basically things get worse before they get better. And so it's just being able to keep pushing through that and understand, to back to John's point, the why of why you're doing it, not necessarily the fact that it feels uncomfortable, so we throw in the towel there. It's that I know the outcome is going to be more effective. So I just have to keep pushing through until I start to make it more my own. We've talked about good communicators or people that think they're good communicators and might still have some room for growth. What would some of those pitfalls be? What does it look like?
I'll start with this one, Jen. I would say someone that talks too much or adds too much when they talk in this constant confusion of more and better. And as a result, people think communication skills, okay, great, let me do a lot of communicating here. Communicate where it's value add. That's going to be the big piece. But there are times when you might recognize, wow, I should talk less and listen more. And any of us with sales backgrounds on these calls, you know, you can talk yourself out of certain sales. There's that concept of as you approach the end and you've asked for the business and you've gotten the business, put a stop sign, put a period, stop the discussion, but you continuing to think, okay, this is going really well. Let me blow past the stop sign. Let me keep adding a little bit more because now I'm on a roll. You can work your way into a corner or work your way down some rabbit holes that all of a sudden you think, wow, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And so that confusion of more and better is one of the bigger pitfalls where I see you've got a great opportunity to be more concise. Land the plane, get your point across, don't continue to beat around the bush. But those would be somewhat content related, but also concepts of just brevity, formatting frameworks, knowing your audience, understanding the content well enough to be able to say, can I do this long form? But can I also give the tailored version that's more of a cliff notes? And can I do something that feels a bit more like this is the trailer to a movie or a film? It's not 2 hours of me watching The Martian. It's the 90-second clip of the trailer that gets me interested in saying, yeah, I want to watch that movie. That looks good.
The second piece of that comes from the tone or how they're speaking about that information. Sometimes when people are way too over the top, as John is saying, whether it is in the emotions they're using at the front of that room or the general level of content that they have, we see that the overall talk or focus shifts from the content to the speaker. We all have individuals that we've walked in to listen to, and we know that when we walk out, we're going to say, yep, I heard about that topic for a total of 7 minutes in our 45-minute meeting, but there was another 38 minutes in there of who knows what, talking about who knows what, that again gave me no additional information. So I think remembering that while we want to be that presenter and we want those individuals to remember us, there needs to be that give and take with the content we're sharing of where the importance is, where that time split is. And sometimes when people are too strong of communicators, that becomes a little bit too one-sided. It's where we see it become a bit more informal. We see those stories drag on a little bit too long. We don't have the amount of Q&A or level of in-depth understanding that we're looking for. Again, just because you're a great communicator doesn't mean that you've necessarily done your due diligence, and we can't rely on those communication skills to bail us out of not knowing the content or not understanding what we're talking about.
And I think that really highlights that instinct. Sometimes good communicators rely on this has worked for me in the past, so I'm just going to do it again. But is it the same audience that you were working with in the past? Is the topic the same? Is the outcome you're hoping to accomplish the same? All of those things throw a wrench in what worked one time. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work this time. So if you don't do that prep, if you're not easily adaptable in situations based on what that audience might need or the nonverbal feedback you're getting from them, you start down, as Matt mentioned, storytelling, and you're just whipping stories out left and right. In certain settings, that works great. In other settings, 5 minutes in, people are going to say, "Okay, Jen, I don't want to hear another story. Give me the content, give me the information, answer my questions, but I'm not interested in another anecdote." So there's this level of, yes, relying on instincts that have worked for you in the past, but then also still prepping and understanding what this specific situation is asking for as well.
Yeah, and that's still all tied to adaptability. I know you just used the phrase there, Jen, but it's looking at the big picture, considering the other variables, sticking with the golf analogies. Just because you've played a golf course once doesn't mean that you're going to play that exact same golf course the exact same way every time. If there's wind, if it's hot, if it's cold, if it's humid, if it's not humid, if this day that you're playing in the afternoon instead of the morning, and the greens have dried out quite a bit because the afternoon sun's been out all day. All these variables impact or influence how we end up using certain clubs, making certain swings. Yes, the same golf course, But you might say play the same golf course 10 days in a row, and you might play it 10 different ways every day, or a different way all 10 days, if you want to look at it that way. But it really truly focuses on, can you read the audience, read the scenario, read the room, and then be adaptable enough in the moment? A lot of that comes from repetitions. A lot of it builds on experience. And people say, John, the longer I do this, the more experience I get, the more able I am to adapt. And that's where we see some novice or new speakers saying, I don't have the ability to adapt just yet, only because I haven't been in these situations enough to be able to understand them. And Jen, you and I were the same way when we started this 15 years ago for me and 13 years ago for you. And Matt, I'm sure you've even noticed just over the last 4 years with us, the adaptability and shift and change that you feel day to day, course to course, audience to audience, program to program. Building competence is what builds confidence.
So on that note, for any of our listeners who are already a good communicator, they're in a good spot right now, and it's more about continuing to be open to coaching and perhaps improving or fine-tuning this skill set. What do you recommend as some thought processes, some mantras, some things that they can do to make sure that they're not pigeonholing themselves into saying, I'm good where I'm at, I don't need anything else?
I'll start it here, Jen, to take the quote that I mentioned earlier. Let's focus on moving the needle from good to great. You are where you are right now because all of these things have worked very well for you in the past as it relates to your physical presence, your vocal presence, your ability to adapt to an audience, your understanding of the message and content. Now let's finesse. Let's fine-tune some of the skills. Let's add some polish to things that perhaps have been ignored or you haven't been thinking of. But we often ask participants early on in our course, please keep an open mind. Come in with this, not thinking that you know everything. We don't think we know everything. And there will be courses where we are enlightened in different ways as coaches.
Absolutely.
But you look at the top athletes in any sport, they have coaches. You look at the best weightlifters in any weightlifting division, they have coaches. You look at the best at whatever it is that they're doing, musicians, anything else. They've got coaches. They do so to remove friction. That's the whole purpose. John, take my life, make it easier. Tell me things that I should be aware of that I might not be right now. Tell me why it's important. Tell me how to execute on it and remove the friction for me. So I can do this and I can do it seamlessly and I can do it at the highest level, but I'm not overthinking it or I'm not trying to be perfect when perfect isn't the reality or the goal.
Yeah. And my main piece would be that even when the sun goes down on that presentation that we have, or that next topic that we need to go through, the slide decks we're creating, that's when we need to be continuing to practice. It's not just when we have something on the mend, something on the horizon, or something upcoming, utilizing these skills that we talk about, or popping something up that may be a little bit old and walking through it to make sure that you're, again, knocking some of that rust off and staying where you want to be in terms of that efficiency. That's going to be the number one thing. Because again, if we're just focusing on this the 1 or 2 weeks before each time we have a talk, these use them or lose them skills are going to be lost somewhere in the intermission.
Absolutely. And again, it's that reminder of you don't reach the top of the mountain. The mountain, there is no top in this case. When it comes to a physical skill, the mountain just keeps growing. So every day, every week, every opportunity you have to speak, there are things that you can consider and think about that help you reach that next peak, if you want to think about it that way. But there's things we can continuously do to keep going higher. There really is no highest point when it comes to being an effective communicator.
Yeah, it brings up. It took a second to look this up because I knew I had it saved. 2022 in September, there was a documentary on Netflix, and I don't know the exact one, but it was about climbing and mountains and everything else. And the quote was, "Mountaintops are small and the air is thin for a reason. You're not supposed to dwell on top of the mountain. Reach your goal, savor it, and move on to the next goal or challenge." But it's a neat perspective shift as you think about communication, as you become more and more effective. Find ways where you can continue that learning process and continue refining thoughts and ideas and continue thinking about what's next. What can I do differently? What can I do more effectively with this audience? How can I adapt quicker with this type of message? How can I make it more simple and say less, but constantly challenging yourself to find ways that you can do that continuous improvement process?
Agreed. I think that's a great point to make. So if you happen to be an individual that would put themselves in this category of being a pretty good and effective communicator right now, think about some of these things. If you happen to manage or work alongside somebody that you would consider one of these individuals, find ways and consider how you can continue to coach them, perhaps bring somebody else in to work with them to move that needle, as John mentioned, from good to great. But there are opportunities to still improve all of the skill sets that we talk about every single month when it comes to effective communicating. As always, if there's another podcast episode topic that you would like to hear us discuss, please feel free to respond to our weekly newsletter when this episode comes out, and we will get that in the rotation. See you again next month.
Thanks for listening to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast brought to you by Vautier Communications. Again, I am your host, Jen Alex. Vautier Communications is in the business of business communication skills. We coach and train both individuals and groups on how to elevate their presence and increase their impact through the way they communicate, present, and write. If you want to learn more about our in-person or virtual training options, visit our website at www.vautiercommunications.com. Thanks for listening.